Okay, next slide, please. So I've been asked to speak on love the needy in our following Jesus series. And with the time that I have, I cannot do a comprehensive job, so I'm not going to cover every aspect of what it means to love the needy. But I want to start with the next slide, thanks. Oh, how'd that get there? Next slide. He's not needy, really. Okay, so there's going to be a verse which comes up on the screen, and it's James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. And it says this: do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. And James chapter 1, verse 27, just a couple of verses later, says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. That's one of the key verses around this series, following Jesus. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. You might remember a couple of weeks ago when Rob came to talk to us. He had an acronym. Do you remember what it was? Love, that's right. And what was this one? Andrew is a lost. Yeah, not a loser. I remember when I first became a Christian, I went back to work and my mates at work heard that I'd become a Christian just the weekend before, and they had a few opinions and things to say about that. And a Christian friend from work, who actually encouraged me after those guys walked away, said, those guys are losers. And I was quite offended because they were my friends. They were my drinking buddies for many years prior. And he went on straight away to explain what he meant by calling my friends losers. And that is, they didn't have Christ. They didn't know Jesus. And so at that point in time, they were missing out on the abundant life that Jesus promises. And so I had to agree with that. But I'm not going to go through all of those, but I wanted to concentrate on the O, which is obey, which is obey, that's right. There are hundreds of Christian organisations that have been set up around the world whose mission it is to mobilise Christians, believers everywhere, to obey God, showing love and compassion to all people groups across the entire globe. So you would know many of them. You would have heard of TEAR, Australia, Samaritan's Purse, Christian Blind Mission, Compassion, Open Doors, Trans World Radio, Barnabas Fund, Bible Society, Salvation Army, and the list goes on. All with a mission to mobilise believers everywhere to show compassion and love and to share the good news of Jesus. There are also seemingly countless number of missionary and Bible colleges all around the world equipping believers to be obedient to God's commands, which is a great thing. It's a great thing, but the job is big too, isn't it? Despite all this effort, you would think that everyone would have been reached by now across the whole world, but it's not the case. Many of the people that we are called to serve don't even appreciate the job, don't even appreciate the task, or even understand the significance of what the gospel message is. And that can make the job of obeying Christ very challenging in certain parts of the world. So let me just say, The very reason Jesus came to this earth is to save us, because we have all sinned and we all fall short of God's holiness. We all fall short of his glory. And at the camp, we learnt Romans 3:23, all have sinned and are far away from God's saving presence. But Jesus said to the believers in Mark 16 and 15, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And in Matthew 28, 18 and 19, after Jesus had risen from the dead, came to the disciples and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So, it's clear that we have a command. We also have motivation now that we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 14, it says, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. When we think of loving the needy, I hope we think of what they need and not what they may want. When Jesus came to earth and revealed his power, the people wanted to install him as an earthly king and conqueror to the oppressive Romans. Do you remember that? What they actually needed was to have their sin dealt with, and that's what we all needed as well. And we need to proclaim him as king of our lives, king of our hearts, and that's what the people needed. Knowing Jesus as Saviour is the greatest gift of all. To have relationship with him, who cannot be snatched away from us, to have that security, that enduring relationship, not just for time, not just for this life, but for all eternity. That is a cause for great hope. Many times our circumstances are not immediately changed when we first become followers of Jesus. But he brings peace because he has promised he is always with us and he'll never forsake us. We have access to him always through prayer. He always hears us. His Holy Spirit in us renews our mind, transforming us day to day into his wonderful and perfect image. We sing a kid's song, with Christ in my vessel, I can smile at the storm. So we all have storms, we all have mountains which need moving, but we have Christ, and that's why we can smile at the storm. As believers, we need to remember we have been bought with a price, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, and we are no longer our own. We're servants now of Christ, the King. So we know that Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted, the needy in this world. It's his work on the cross, his sacrifice, that sets people free. Millions of people live their lives in fear, don't they? Without Christ. Many are reluctant to find out more about him. They're trapped in the worship of false gods and living according to animistic cultural beliefs. They basically worship anything that moves except for the living God out of fear. They have no hope. They're the real needy people that I wanted to talk about today. Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. No other religion or cult with mankind's separation from God, and certainly not a sure way to be friends with God, there's no message like the gospel to bash through all that. Jesus has transported us now from being slaves to sons. If you don't have Jesus, you're a slave to sin. Every other religion falls short. And the reason? because it's not of God. It's not His plan. When we look at the real thing, as the Lathams are finding out, they're nodding, they're smiling, they're agreeing with the message that they're hearing. God's Spirit is somehow talking with their spirit to testify that what is being preached in PNG to the Māori people is absolutely true. The real thing makes such a difference, doesn't it? He is the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12, verse 1, last part of it, and verse 2 in the NIV says, "And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith." So when we talk about following Jesus, we really need to be thinking about, are we fixing our eyes on Jesus on a daily basis? Simon talked about the struggle that we all have. I share in that struggle to be consistent. But when we remember Jesus, he would be going to his Father, even if it meant getting up early in the morning, to be with his Father in prayer. Why did I go through all that? Because if we're going to help the needy in this world, let's agree that above all else, everyone needs Jesus. We all know about the barriers and the challenges to reaching the needy. They include language, culture, as well as opposition to the message that we actually bring. There's a lot of fear. Fear from the believer going, fear from the believer obeying, fear of rejection. But there are other barriers in others as well, such as pride. Put simply, people love their sin and their lifestyle, and they don't see a need to change. They think they're self-sufficient, and that's often the case in our culture in Australia, isn't it? But strict laws in some places mean that it can be extremely detrimental to your health and your well-being to proclaim Christ. And you could face persecution in the form of being excommunicated from your family. Imagine that, never being spoken to by your family ever again because you've made a profession of faith. You could lose your job, the place where you live. You could even be thrown in prison and suffer mental, physical, and emotional punishment and harm, even death. It is reported that 90,000 Christians were martyred in 2016 alone. I don't know how accurate that number is, but if it's true, that's one brother or sister in Christ every 6 minutes. But there are organisations like Christian Blind Mission, and the heading on this one says, "Lives Restored." God is still working. Jesus is in the business of restoring lives. Amen. He cares when his creation is hurting. He knows all of the suffering in the world. He demonstrated his love for the needy when he came to this earth. And Jesus has experienced everything that a man can in regard to the hurts and the effects of sin in this world. So on one hand, we're to reach all people everywhere. And on the other hand, you have a hostile people, both home, maybe even in your workplace, and abroad, who want to stifle the message, who want to imprison you, beat you, or kill you because of your faith and obedience to Jesus. And that's certainly the case in many countries overseas. Yet all of those people, even the oppressors, need Christ, don't they? So what we really need in the world is courageous Christians. Are you a courageous Christian? Following Jesus is what we're learning about. What does it look like in some of those places? A believer's life should be characterized by being and doing. not just talk. I'd like to bring your attention to this magazine. It was out the front a couple of weeks ago. It's called Frontline Faith. Some of you will be familiar with Frontline Faith. It's talking about the work that Open Doors does with a lot of Christians all around the world. And I just want to read you one article from Syria. You've heard in the last 12 months a lot of reports from Syria. And I'd love to read the whole thing to you, but I don't have time. But let me just read this one article. Muslims are discovering Jesus and refugees are finding shelter. Pastor Boutros Church serves in the Syrian city of Tartus. With the support of Open Doors, he and his church community support over 4,000 displaced families. Before the war started, Pastor Boutros had a church of 25 people. Now they have grown to 200. About 90% of them are new believers. He says, destruction and death are one part of the story in Syria. On the other hand, I see the work of God, so I can deliver good news to you. People are coming to Christ. They are baptized. Muslims who never heard of Christ are now in the church. 4.8 million people have fled Syria as refugees, and there are another 6.3 million people who are still in Syria but have no home. These are called internally displaced people. Pastor Boutros Church serves those who are unable to flee their country. He says, it is as if we're living in the times of the Book of Acts. Before the war, we were praying that God would do something great in our midst. But we didn't expect war and so many displaced. We weren't ready and we didn't have the experience or the resources to help them. In the beginning, we were asking ourselves what we were going to do. We remembered the story of the Good Samaritan in Luke. We couldn't just pass by and do nothing, saying that we are a minority and we don't want to get into trouble. We could decide to leave everything behind and emigrate like many others did. But what did the church in Acts do when there was persecution? They came together and prayed, and the Lord spoke. We did the same. God gave us this vision to help them like the Good Samaritan. He gave us the blessing of ministry in the midst of war. We formed a group of volunteers. We encouraged everybody, young and old, to come and join hands with us. First to go to visit these people in their area where they were living, in pain, to offer them a listening ear. We heard their pain, frustration and problems. But we did this without discrimination. It didn't matter to us if they were Christians or Muslims or of any other religion. We decided to start small and then we grew. In March 2012, we had 60 families only. In March 2013, we had 600. Every month, the number grew. Now we support 4,000 families, some 20,000 persons. There's more that I'd like to read, but time doesn't permit. And page 7 is a great article, and I'll leave that out the front for anyone who wants to have a read of that. A believer's life will be characterised by being and doing, not just talk. So we know that money is not the solution to loving the needy, is it? Jesus said, the poor you'll always have. Sometimes when I'm in town, I go for a walk at lunchtime and I walk past a Tats Lotto agency and there's a big sign. You know, it'll say 20, 30, 40. The other day I saw one where the jackpot was $50 million. And it wasn't very long, maybe 10 steps. I'd spent that $50 million. And I was thinking, if there were 50 million poor and needy people in the world, that's easily accounted for, given that there's about 7 billion in the world and half of them live below the poverty line. If I had $50 million and I gave each one a dollar, it wouldn't barely meet the need, would it? But the money would be gone, it'd be spent, and it'd be lucky if they were able to buy food to finish the day. So money is not the solution, is it? Because an endless amount of money would barely meet the endless need out there. No, it's not money. The Bible says that people perish because of a lack of understanding, a lack of knowledge. What sort of knowledge are we talking about? Are we talking about academia, filling our head with facts? We're not, are we? We're talking about, the Bible speaks, the knowledge of God is very valuable. They need the light, and light overcomes darkness. Jesus is the light of the world. The love of God overcomes hatred and violence. Remember, all the problems of the world originate from the sinful heart, and perfect love casts out fear. So if I can just focus back on Jesus' love and compassion for the needy, he demonstrated it in many ways when he was walking this earth. He healed a man with leprosy, a disease which caused him to be a social outcast, rejected by his own town and separated from his loved ones. A centurion's servant was made well again. Peter's mother-in-law was healed. Two demon-possessed men and a paralytic were healed. Jairus' daughter was needy. She was dead. Jesus brought her back to life, and the same with Lazarus. These people were restored to much more than physical health. When you think about it, just the joy of the family members and the neighbours and the friends of those who were healed. A woman who was subject to bleeding for 12 years was healed. Two blind men were restored. A demon-possessed mute was also made well again, and he spoke. Jesus spoke forgiveness and mercy into people's lives. So we know that there is no shortage of needs and needy people in the world. Would you agree? Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." In Matthew 9 and 35, it says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages. I've underlined all the towns and villages. He didn't say, "Oh, I'm going to bypass those ones, go around. Don't have time for that." He was teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Jesus, when he came, one man, choosing 12 disciples, he lived with them, he trained them. Before too long, there were 72 sent out, plus the 12. In Acts, we read that the church grew very rapidly, and thousands of people were coming to Christ, even in one day. Not by one person converting all the people, not by addition, but by everyone doing their part, by multiplication. The very witness of the love shown to one another, that's you and I, Christians, is enough to attract others to Christ, in spite of any persecution and opposition experienced. Now, I've read just one article out of here, but the whole magazine is full of articles where people are being courageous in spite of persecution. And it's the same. The world's watching on. The world's watching us. Christians were often rounded up for meeting together. Back in the book of Acts, and even today, they were meeting together in Jesus' name. They became well known. Their behaviour may have even made it easy for their persecutors to identify who actually were the true followers of Jesus. I've got a question for you. If you were rounded up and accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Can the world see Christ in you? A believer's life will be characterized by being and doing, not just talk. So it's not just doing, it's being and doing. So your relationship with the Father is very important. The believers in Acts were bold. We're encouraged to be fearless ourselves. Matthew 10 and 37 says, "Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it." Well, why say that? I say that because it's so important to put God at number one. And Rachel's already mentioned that. We've been looking over the last few weeks about how we love God. Jordan spoke about loving God. And at the camp, one of the memory verses was, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." And Jesus said in the very next verse, the second most important thing to God is just like it. Love your neighbour as yourself. And Rob spoke about that a few weeks ago. Last week, Elizabeth spoke on love your enemies. And on the 12th of February, Max is going to be speaking on loving the lost. And after that, James, love one another. Loving the needy is a means that God uses to humble us and conform us into his own image. When Jesus washed the disciples' feet, we can find that photo again, might have been out of place. He demonstrated that we are not here to be served, but to serve others. When we come in faith to Christ with repentance, which is a turning away from self and a turning to God, admitting our wrongdoing and our need of a saviour, we immediately become a new creation. The Bible declares the old person is dead. Behold, all things have become new. But our spiritual formation is a lifelong journey. Once we become Christians, we don't become perfect, to others at least in the world, do we? The Apostle John wrote, "Now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known." What we will be has not yet been made known. "But when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. 1 John 2 and 6. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your plan of salvation. And we thank you that you have empowered people to be courageous, to proclaim your word, to obey you. You've even given us a love for the lost. You've given us victory, and you've put a value in each person that's ever been born. And we also have eternity in our hearts. Help us to love one another. Help us to show Christ's love to the lost this day. We ask these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.